The sermon title I selected this morning, Have an Open Mind, centers on Luke chapter 24 and verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. I think today that we have too exalted a view of the human mind. And of course, if you've done any talking about this, you know that it's common for people to say that only a very small percentage of the capability of the human mind has been tapped. And we applaud those who have great minds, Nobel Prize winners, for instance, in medicine or math or science, are considered to be very great. And it wasn't too many days ago that I heard a fellow say he wished that he had a photographic mind. Oh, what a good thing that would be, to have a photographic mind. Psychology and psychiatry study the mind. Psychology probes the unconscious mind, and the past is probed, as it were, to find out the solutions to present problems. And it's interesting because there have even been steps to probe the mind of individuals when they were in the womb and before they were in the womb. Psychiatry prescribes mind-altering drugs. And the effort, of course, is to alter behavior. And there's been a good deal of success in this area, we must all admit. And so it goes. The mind, how we think, our understanding of what goes on around us, the mind, a strange and wonderful thing. But again, do we have too exalted a view of the human mind? When Jesus met the disciples after his resurrection, he saw a problem. Again in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Jesus set the scriptures before the disciples. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because the disciples did not understand the Bible. Have you ever had that problem? Now, I know I have had that problem. And I remember when I was in college, I used to, after the pattern of my college roommate, go out in the hallway and try to read the Bible, but it made no sense to me at all. And the tendency is to shift blame, is it not? The tendency is to blame the book. Oh, the book's too complicated. The book's too complex. The language is old. Well, we need a new, different translation. And the tendency is to blame the book. But that's not what Jesus saw at all, was it? He explained the scriptures to his disciples, and they did not understand the scriptures. And so it says in Luke chapter 24 and verse 45, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You see, the problem wasn't the scriptures. The problem was in the disciples. The problem was their minds were closed. And it wasn't that they refused to understand the scriptures. The fact of the matter was, and we'll get to this a little bit more fully, the fact of the matter was they were incapable of understanding the Scriptures. And so you see, what we're talking about here is your mind and my mind. How we think, the way we think, the faculty of thinking, how we reason and come to conclusions. And that's terribly important, isn't it? Jesus saw a problem in the minds of the disciples. Well, let's look at a couple of other passages of Scripture that show us, first of all, the condition of the mind. In Titus chapter 1, if you turn there, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, we are given some information about the condition of the mind. Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. Now, first of all, we have before us, it must be admitted, the condition of the mind without God. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. I think you understand what a defiled conscience is, don't you? A defiled conscience is a conscience that does not work properly. It does not follow God. It does not say no when God says no. And when the individual walks into blatant sin, very often the conscience does not work properly and guilt does not come upon this person. It is seared. It is a defiled conscience. It does not work properly. And interestingly enough, the mind is linked with the conscience here, and the Apostle Paul, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that the mind is defiled. In other words, the mind without God does not work properly. Now, that's a little bit difficult for us to stomach. It really is. But this is what the Bible is saying. And this word defilement, in part at least, refers to a moral defilement. And I think we can understand that when we see that the conscience is defiled. But you see, if we understand also that the mind without God is defiled, morally incapable of working properly, we begin to get a grasp of what the Scriptures are teaching here. Hebrews tells us that bitterness, for instance, is an element which defiles us. And all you have to do is talk to a person who is bitter. And you know that rationality goes out the window. Bitterness consumes the individual. And you can't talk to that person. You can't argue rationally with that person. Isn't that right? The mind is defiled. It doesn't work properly. And then if you'd look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, we have another element of the mind without God, the condition of the mind without God. And just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected as regards the faith. Now again, this is something. This is something to behold. The depraved mind is the mind which rejects truth. Let me give you an example of how this works. I used this example, I guess, last Lord's Day evening with our adult study class when I referred to a lady who was a Jehovah's Witness that I have talked with, communicated with. And on one side, she vehemently holds that there is one God, Jehovah. But on the other side, when she talks about John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, she says. That's how they translate John 1:1. She is freely willing to admit that Jesus is a God. A God. But then steps back and says, oh no, I believe in only one God. And she wants it both ways at once. Blind to the truth. Saying she believes only in one God, but says Jehovah's God and Jesus is a God. You can't have it both ways. Blind to the truth. Unwilling to accept the truth. And you see, we're not talking about people here who have only have, quote, a low IQ. Paul is not talking about people like that. Paul is talking about all sorts of thinking. When he talks about the depraved mind. For example, today, R-rated and X-rated movies are prevalent in our society. And evil is called good. And very intellectual people are defending the right of others in this area and calling evil good. You see, we're not talking just about low IQ. We're talking about the whole spectrum of the working of the mind. The mind, without God, Paul says, is depraved. And then if you'd look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Here again, the Apostle Paul speaks about the mind. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding. What is the condition of the mind without God? The Apostle Paul says it is darkened, that there is a shadow cast across this mind so that it does not function properly. The Apostle Paul says in another place that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Those minds do not work properly. And the depth of this darkness is pervasive. Let me give you another example. Several years ago, when I was at camp as a counselor, I was laying in bed in my sleeping bag, and the guest speaker at the camp and one of the other ministers who was there were having a debate. And the debate was about an orange. And the guest speaker at the camp said, you can know everything you need to know about this orange without knowing God. And the other minister argued and said, no, not possible. Because you see, this orange was created by God. And if you do not, first of all, view this orange as a creation of God, you cannot know it properly. Everything else you know about this orange is perverted. Because first of all, this orange is a creation of God. And if you exclude God from the picture, you exclude one of the most important elements with regards to this orange. And I think that's right. And unfortunately today, the minds of many are so clouded and so darkened that they exclude God from all of their thinking, and they believe that they have it correct when they exclude God from all of their thinking. Their understanding is darkened. You see, this is the condition, if you will, of the mind without God. It is defiled. It is depraved. It is darkened. It does not work correctly. Well, let's carry it a step further. What are the capabilities of this mind, then, without God? You turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. We see very clearly the capabilities of this mind without God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. The mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Now that's not Denny Prudhoe which is speaking. That's the Holy Spirit which is speaking. And the Holy Spirit is saying that the mind without God is hostile towards God. One of the ways that this hostility can be readily viewed is in the teaching of evolution. Evolution is taught as fact. And in a local newspaper not too many months ago, the head of the science department in a high school was quoted as saying, "Evolution is fact and we teach it as fact." And in that situation, any evidence which is presented which may show that the Bible doctrine of creation is true, any evidence of that nature is rejected out of hand. There is a hostility towards God. And the Bible doctrine of creation is opposed in the classroom and in the courtroom because there is a hostility towards God. And the Bible here says the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Incapable of bowing before God is the mind without God. It follows pagan thinking. It is hostile towards God. It is unable to submit to God. It cannot say yes to God, and it will not acknowledge God. You see, folks, the point is simply this, that sin has devastated the human capability to think properly. When I was in seminary, I had a professor in apologetics, the class in which we learned how to defend the faith. And the professor made bold to say that the rational person, when presented with all of the facts, will accept Christ. And the problem, you see, is simply this: that there is no real rationality outside of God. And the mind without God, which is defiled and depraved and darkened, is unable to submit to God. And it's also very interesting to me that in the study of psychology, and some of you will say, are you going to get on that horse again? In the study of psychology, what is done by and large is that those who are the elite in the science take the defiled, the depraved, and the darkened mind of man without God. They study that mind, and there are those who are attempting to bring the study of the depraved and defiled and darkened mind of man, that study, into the church to show us how the mind of man ought to work. And it will not wash. Well, having looked at the condition of the mind without God and the capabilities of the mind without God, look again at Luke 24, verse 45. Folks, here is the gospel. Here is the good news. Here is the wonder of the grace of God. The disciples didn't understand. Their minds didn't work properly. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. How does a person come to Christ? How does a person grow in Christ? How does a person advance in sanctification? Through the scriptures. We come to God through Christ, and we understand Christ through the scriptures. And to understand the scriptures, the mind must be opened by God. And this means some tremendous things happen. Moral defilements removed, so that people begin to think straight again. And depravities removed, so that people accept the truth. And darkness is lifted so that the kingdom of God can be seen. And a new ability to bow before God is given. Do you know what that is? Faith. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What a wonder it is. I'd like to read just a few sentences from Calvin as he speaks on this particular text. As the Lord had before acted the role of teacher and made no headway with his disciples, he now begins to teach them inwardly by his Spirit. Words float into thin air to no effect until the minds are illumined with the gift of understanding. It is true that the Word of God is like a lantern, but it shines in darkness and among the blind until the inner light is shed upon their eyes by the Lord, whose own office it is to enlighten the blind. It is obvious how great is the corruption of our nature when the light of life offered to us in heavenly oracles does us no good. If we do not see with our understanding what is right, how will our wills be adequate to show obedience? We must admit that we fail in all points. The heavenly teaching is of no use or effect to us unless, as far as the Spirit shapes our minds to understand it. And that's the grace of God. And this is of such great importance. You know, in the beginning, God said to Adam and Eve, I want you to build a society in this world which will honor me. I want you to have children, and I want you to teach them the things of the Lord, and I want you to build a society in this earth which will honor me. And since the fall, one society after another has fallen by the wayside because they have rejected the word of the living God and they have opposed God because their thinking has been perverted. Their minds are dull. Will our society survive? To the extent that our minds are open by the grace of God to receive His Word and to live by it. This society will. I wonder where you are this morning. Has Christ opened your mind? Have you understood the gospel? In part, perhaps. Have you turned to Christ? The Lord of glory has opened your mind to understand the Scriptures. And I pray to the living God, you'll begin to grasp the significance of that. And again, what about growth in Christ? Are you growing? Are you making advancements? Can you look back a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, a year, and see a difference in your life? Are you growing in Christ? The Apostle Paul says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way you'll grow in Christ is when the Lord of glory Himself opens your mind to understand the Scriptures and you put those Scriptures to work in your life. And folks, if you see growth in your life, it's the Lord who has opened your mind to understand the Scriptures. What a glory it is. And so this morning, the simple charge, I guess you'd call it, is this. Have an open mind. Follow Christ. Pray that He'll open your mind to the Bible and to the Word of God. Do you want to grow in Christ? Have an open mind. Pray that Christ will open it to the things of God and the Bible. And you will grow. It will make all the difference in the world. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you again for your word. And may it be that we understand it. May it be, Father, that our minds will not be darkened, but that you will, in every way, open our minds to know you and your word and to live for you. Grant that, we ask, in Jesus' name and for his sake.
Amen.